Menards is your one-stop shop for all your summer essentials. Whether you're stocking up on everyone's favorite snacks, making a patio perfect for entertaining family and friends, or getting ready to gather around the grill, Menards has everything you need for your get-togethers all summer long. Save big money now at Menards. Plus, don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back for hour number two of the three-hour extravaganza we call The Usual Suspects. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel. We've covered a lot of football. We covered playoff scenarios. Should get into the Rockets as well.
Let's do it.
That team last night, you know what? And I can say this. There's certain things, and I've told my wife this, there's certain things that are hot buttons with me with that franchise that are never going to go away. And I've accepted that. But this year, aside from the two idiots that I normally refer to in their front office, I am a Rockets fan again. And I'm pulling for that team. And last night was one of those games I was really worried about because you could tell they had dead legs. You could tell because all the threes were short. Guys were missing shots that they normally would make. And you could tell that they were spent from the weekend, the back-to-back. The Bucks gave them a run. And they came out flat. God bless Eric Gordon because he came out of nowhere. Seven made threes. We have 33 points.
The most off the bench since 2000 for the Rockets.
Is that right?
Yeah. I saw it on the crawler on ESPN or something like that. It was the most points scored from a bench player since 2000.
See, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that people are not factoring in. I just saw, you know, someone saying, hey, there's still a chance to get Carmelo, and they're throwing that rumor out there. And then they're throwing out, well, maybe Paul George is available instead. You know what? I wouldn't mess with what they got right now. Now, if you could take a bowl of soup and Ryan Anderson and turn it into Paul George, I'd be ecstatic. I think that all Rockets fans should thank their lucky stars they didn't get Carmelo Anthony based on what's transpired in Oklahoma City. Last night, they won. He had 4 points. Okay? So, take it for what it's worth.
You know, my takeaway from last night, that fourth quarter, by the way, I just wanted to read this. Tim McMahon, ESPN staff writer, posted this an hour ago on ESPN on the Rockets front page. An NBA statistical change denied Clint Capella a milestone, but awarded one to Chris Paul, who upon review was given a rebound that was originally credited to Capella. That gave Paul 18 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, his 14th career triple-double. Capella, 24 points, 19 rebounds, finished just shy of his first 20-20 game. That sucks.
Yeah. Who do you feel for?
Capella.
I was asking him
because he's never had
rebounds.
A 20-20 game, but Chris Paul's had 13 triple-doubles, so what's 14? That's not a milestone in any way.
Let me say this,
it's 14,
too.
That's great, but
they're both up for big paydays. Paul's guaranteed to get his. Capella could get even more.
2020 would have been nice on the resume.
Yeah.
But anyway, so last night, I think that when you look at the game and the way that it went, their offense is going to get all the credit for what happened in that fourth quarter. But again, the Rockets' defense led to that offense, and it's never going to get the credit that it deserves, I don't think, on a team that shoots so many threes and is known as an offensive juggernaut in the NBA. But their defense won them that game last night. They gave up 15 points in the fourth quarter. If you average out what the Jazz scored quarters 1 through 3, and they score that in the fourth, this is a 120 to 119 ball game. That defense is what won them the game.
Yeah, I mean, that. I love what they bring to the table on defense, and I feel like the hate about their defensive performance has let down a little bit, but you're right. They're probably not going to get
everything
unless they win, I guess.
I wouldn't even call it hate necessarily. It was just that everyone was talking about, oh, the 30 points, the triple-double, the 20 and 20. Okay, that's all great. And yes, that got them to 120 points. They held the Jazz to 99 points, 15 in the fourth quarter. If the Jazz scored 28, which is what they averaged over the first three quarters, this is a completely different ball game.
I think the difference is accountability, because remember we were talking about Chris Paul before he signed with the Rockets. Would that personality mesh with James Harden? Because you know Chris Paul was going to call out James Harden, right? Well, it's not just Chris Paul calling out James Harden. Look at him on the floor. PJ Tucker calls out James Harden. Nene calls out James Harden. There's accountability on this team, and I think Trevor will totally call him out. He's probably one of the more passive ones, him and Eric Gordon, maybe Ryan Anderson as well. But for the most part, there's accountability on this team. And I think that's a huge difference on defense.
And I would agree with you. Here's the thing. To both your points, the outstanding thing is this team has the capability at any given time in a ball game, when they put their pedal to the metal and they put their foot down, to absolutely put a team on their heels and stifle them. They did it the other night with a 25-0 run. The run Barry's referring to, they outscored the Jazz 41-15 down the stretch. That's ridiculous, right? Especially in the fourth quarter. And here's the other thing. For about three quarters, I felt like they were playing the Jazz tempo. And a lot of what you're talking about with defense also translates to tempo. And so if you're playing Utah's tempo, a lot of it is you're getting a lot of your missed threes are turning into one and dones. Then Utah's going to grind it out. They're going to do a lot of things that are going to keep you out of your game. But when they decided to turn it up and really push the speed limit, they had Utah absolutely flabbergasted. I mean, and so then the other fear is, I better not take this shot, even if it's wide open, because they could turn that into a layup, as opposed to trying to get a better shot, which they couldn't get because the rotations, like you're talking about defensively, were better. But I think, again, playoffs are going to be a different story, and fans have to be prepared for it, and the Rockets have to prepare for what happens when we're not hitting our threes. Mm-hmm. But other than that, in the regular season, their best defense is an attack offense, and if they can turn the heat up on a team like that, and when they flip that switch, it can do a world of good in a short period of time. Because that run last night, the first turning it around from like a 4 or 5 point deficit to a 7 point lead only took a matter of like a minute and a half, 2 minutes. Yep. They're amazing offensively.
And they force the Jazz into bad shots, quick shots.
Right.
And then I think that this is where the offense comes into play to me, because once the defense tightened up and the three started falling, then the Jazz felt like they had to match them three for three, and they're not built to do that. And that's the thing that I think makes the Rockets a scary team to most other teams other than Golden State, is if you try to match three-pointer for three-pointer against the Rockets, you're probably not going to be able to sustain that. Especially since they can play defense now. So it's going to be a hell of a season. It's going to be my fear, though. And I, you know me, I'm always a pessimist when it comes to my Houston teams. My fear is, though, just like last year for a while, remember there was a stretch where they just could not make threes. They were going, you know, 7 for 40 in a game. And that's going to happen again. I want everyone to be aware of that. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen.
It happened last night. I mean, the good thing is there's a good possibility that someone's going to get hot. But sometimes it's just a struggle. I mean, if you look at the first half stats, I mean, they couldn't buy, PJ Tucker couldn't buy a bucket. Ryan Anderson finished with 0 points. Eric Gordon came out of nowhere in the second half, and no one really expected it. So, I mean, the good thing is there's plenty of shooters. Luke is out right now, too. Not only is he a defensive presence, but he can shoot the three ball as well. And then you had Nene out as because of, you know,
well, and
the
that short, you know, Lenny on Twitter was hitting me up last night going, are you concerned with them only going to an 8-man rotation? No, he has to do that right now because with the fact that Mbamute and Nene are out.
Yeah, I mean, now, he finally had a conversation with the coaches, and now it looks like Tariq Black is going to make more presence in the rotations.
But when they put him in last night, he instantaneously turned it over like 3 or 4 times. Mm-hmm.
Well, he said it was after a discussion. I don't know if they're going to have that discussion again.
It could be a game-by-game basis.
Yeah, if Nene can play, when Luke makes his return in 10 days, all that changes.
Here's the other thing. For three quarters, they didn't play defense.
Yeah.
For three quarters, because part of the factor of them not having the legs was also not having, and I tweeted this, it was a want to. They didn't have the hustle. They didn't have the rotation. They didn't want to play defense. Rodney Hood was doing whatever he wanted to all over the floor the entire evening off the bench.
That was insane.
And killing them. But then all of a sudden in the fourth quarter, they put their mind to it and they decided to really put the clamps down and then turn the volume up on the offensive end, you know, with fast break and running the floor.
Yeah.
And it changed the complexion of the entire game.
I was looking at, I wanted to see the shot selection in the fourth quarter for the Jazz and what they, so I'm looking at the breakdown. The Jazz made 6 shots in the fourth quarter, 3 three-pointers and 3 of them, a 1 mid-range jumper and 2 inside the paint. That was the total amount of shots that they made in the fourth quarter. They missed 14 shots, 6 threes. Of the 14 misses that they had, 6 of them were threes. So that'll tell you right there that at one point they were just overwhelmed because of the defense that the Rockets are playing, plus the offense that put them in a hole. You can't play catch up with the Rockets team. That's going to be tough for any team to do.
And to your point about the defense, again, if you go back and look at the tape, and I tweeted it when it was going on, it was a layup line for the Jazz. When you look at your shot selection, the shot charts you were just talking about, if you look at the first 3 quarters, a majority of them were inside of 5 feet. They were all layups, runners in the lane, uncontested shots right near the rim. And finally, now here's the thing they got to be careful about too. That's not going to be the case every night where they could just do what they did, flip a switch, and win a game. There are better opponents out there at full strength because remember now the Jazz are missing Gobert.
Mm-hmm.
So they were a little bit undermanned. They've been dinged up a little bit. But you can't do that against the Spurs team. You can't do that against a Golden State team.
And they had 2 players in the concussion protocol for some reason, which I thought was kind of odd. I didn't know.
If it was the Bulls, I'd understand. If it was Mirotić and...
was it Bradley and Walters?
I don't remember who the 2 were, but there was 2 players that the coach mentioned were out because of concussions.
So I'm looking... The other weird thing that stands out to me, which, again, a lot of this has to do with the fact that Gobert was out, but... Jazz had 1 block all night,
yeah.
And the Rockets had 7, and I think 3 or 4 of them in the fourth quarter.
Favors didn't play last night, right?
That was another guy.
Favors,
that didn't play.
Another big. That would lend itself to what you just said, Barry. If you don't have Gobert and Favors, mm-hmm. your 2 most aggressive and athletic bigs, that can cause a problem.
Yep.
So, all right. So the Rockets win. They're 14th in a row. We can start looking at the schedule too and figure out when we think they're going to lose again. They got the Lakers next, I believe, tomorrow.
Yep.
Okay. So, Mr. Ball comes to town. We also got, speaking of the Lakers, Kobe's retirement of 2 numbers, first time in NBA history. Same team, 2 numbers, 1 player. That happened last night. And plenty more to get to as well. So if you want to join us, please do so. 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. We'll be back in just minutes. It's ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back on The Usual Suspects, where, again, we tell you we like to take care of you, those the loyal listeners that become suspects that listen to us on a regular basis. Therefore, with that in mind, the Harlem Globetrotters are coming to NRG Arena Saturday, January the 27th, and it is fun for the whole family. You've got to see the Globetrotters in person at least once in your life. I grew up going every New Year's Eve in Milwaukee to the Globetrotters games and really had a great time with my friends and family. You should go, too. Again, you don't want to miss your chance to get on the action. They come once a year. And you can also get tickets and purchase them at the NRG Arena box office or online. But we're going to give away 2 right now to the Harlem Globetrotters game Saturday, January 27th. So if you want to win those 2 tickets, Barry, you call it. What number are we going for?
10. Caller 10.
Caller 10 right now, 713-780-3776. Make sure you can use them. You will get 2 tickets to the Harlem Globetrotters game Saturday, January the 27th.
Lenny, good luck, everybody. Lenny on Twitter said, are you saying that you only played 1 quarter of defense? That won't fly in the playoffs.
Agreed.
It was also a back-to-back. Mm-hmm. It was also a down night.
Injuries.
The shot wasn't falling.
Injuries.
A lot of things go into that. Do I think that the Rockets will play like that in the playoffs? Absolutely not. I don't think that guys, and you can get whatever knock you want to give him in the postseason, but I don't think guys like Chris Paul and a healthy Nene and Tucker and Trevor are going to let this team only play 1 quarter of defense in the postseason.
Yeah, and the burden is on them and on James Harden.
And their shot, the shot. I'm with you, and the shots may not fall. That could happen. If they go cold in the playoffs, it's over. But this year, the difference is they do have the ability to play some defense if the shot's not falling. They can play the pick and roll. Although I thought for the second game in a row, the pick and roll was defended pretty well for the most part. Undersized, undermanned, and everything else. But two nights ago, I thought the Spurs really shut down the pick and roll. So there is a blueprint and a precedence to be had for that. A
couple other factors to take into consideration, especially for the playoffs this year. One thing that they didn't have last year that they have this year now is they have a great mid-range shooter and a couple of other really good mid-range shooters. P.J. Tucker made his living inside the three-point line for the most part, though he was a great corner three-point shooter. Luke Mbah-Mute can make the 15-foot baseline jump shot, can make the elbow jumper. And one of the best of all time mid-range jump shooters is Chris Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as they're telling him or discouraging from taking those shots now, I'm telling you, in the playoffs, they are going to need him, and he's going to be a savior in a lot of cases when that three ball's not falling, that they can do those things. But the other thing that I was going to mention is the blueprint is out to what you were talking about, Barry. There's a blueprint now that's going to be coming at the Rockets more and more, which Utah used to perfection for three quarters last night, which was when James Harden, and even in the fourth quarter, when James Harden has the ball, they are going to double team him until he gets rid of it and make someone else beat them. And that's why Eric Gordon was so big last night, because he actually stepped up, started making shots for a lot of other guys that had tired legs. But be prepared for the fact that, and don't be surprised if Harden's statistical numbers end up going down, at least for a while, because more and more teams, until they find a way out of it and they can offensively scheme to beat it, are going to see James getting the ball taken out of his hands and double teamed a hell of a lot more.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting.
Yep. I mean, you know, there's going to be ups and downs for them, but I think Nick, you said the key that in the playoffs is going to be, will Harden be able to step up? And Chris Paul, for that matter, let's be real.
Yeah, and
the knock on him has been that as well.
Let's be real for sure. His line of playoff in his playoff success in his career, he's never gotten to a Western Conference Finals, I don't believe, but he's definitely never gotten to a Finals. Those are things he's got to overcome.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing I think this year as opposed to last year is we were using the term or the phrase close the gap a lot when it came down to the Warriors, but a lot of it was more of it had a more optimistic tone to it because, yeah, the Rockets were getting better, but realistically, I think all three of us knew they weren't going to beat the Warriors and they weren't going to beat the Spurs. I think all three of us picked against them in the playoffs. But I think this is the one year where, you use the phrase close the gap and it actually has a lot more meaning. The only two teams you got to be worried about, in my opinion, right now, with the way the Rockets are playing right now, based on how they're playing, is the Spurs and the Warriors. The Cavs is just a team that the Rockets would have to deal with in the event they get past those two teams. And I think that's the most important thing. I think the Spurs should at very minimum be concerned, and the Warriors should really look into, making sure that they're the better team and still can defeat, put away this Rocket squad.
I'm not going to sleep on the Cavs, because you don't know what team they are until they get Isaiah Thomas back.
Yep.
Because like I've said several times on this show, when you get an all-star caliber player, fresh as can be, right in the middle of the season or after the midway point of the season, that's a huge uplifting experience for a team, especially if he can perform. So I'm just going to worry about the Western Conference right now. But I agree with you that if you look at the Western Conference, it should be a three-team race. San Antonio still has to get used to having Kawhi Leonard back, so it's going to take some time. But again, you never want to scheme against Greg Popovich. But do I think they've closed the gap? Absolutely. And the other thing that we talked about that could make it even more interesting is Golden State was really kind of injury-free for the last couple of years. They're going through some injuries. We don't know when they're going to come back from those and how healthy they're going to be. But all it takes is one little injury, and the Rockets are right there on an even playing field in a lot of ways with the Golden State Warriors.
Or out of it, depending on whose team sustains the injury.
Right. But I'm saying if Golden State has the injury,
yeah,
the Rockets are right there staring them eye to eye.
Scott Vaughn just texted the show. Okay. With his stats for the weight loss challenge. So we are still getting folks that want to enter that weight loss challenge. If you want in, and we're still finalizing the particulars, which we got more good news today, so we're getting one step closer. But if you want to get in on the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5 weight loss challenge, it's good motivation for next year to lose some weight. We'll talk about it, have some fun. But you can text your stats, so your height, your weight, your email, and your name to 713-780-3776. Shoot that over, and we'll make sure that you get in on that, and we'll have all the details as we get them ironed out. But, yeah, those are still coming in as well. And somebody said last year I could see the game going all Harden with multiple bricks. This year we have Chris Paul, and, oh, my God, he's awesome in the fourth quarter. And that is true. He really has this year been kind of this leader in the fourth quarter that you wanted to go out and get. You wanted a guy that could lead this team, and he's proven to be that. And it kind of goes to what you were saying earlier, or one of you was saying about how nobody's afraid to get on Harden.
No.
And Chris Paul's not afraid to get on Harden, and he's also not afraid to just lead the team and take that on himself, and even with a guy like James Harden on the team. So that's a good point, and it's good to see. I wanted your thoughts on the Kobe thing, both of you.
Okay.
Because I've never been in love with Kobe like others have. And I respect what he's done. I respect that. And I think he's one of the best ever. But I just felt like it was the most L.A. thing to do to retire two different numbers. It was the most Hollywood look at me trying to be different. Why not just put two numbers on one banner and just call it? Like, why did you have to retire two separate numbers like that and make it such a big deal? I thought it was just silly to me.
I actually thought Joel would have an issue with it, but then he reminded me, he's like, no, more about retiring a number on two different teams. Is what
I got
he clarified.
A problem when a guy has, you know, played like for Clyde.
Well, the
Clyde
Bulls
played his whole career with the Blazers and played like two or three years with the Rockets, four years I think it was with the Rockets, and had his number retired by both places. And I just think, from my standpoint, you play the majority, unless there is a 50-50 split and you play fan, like with the case of
But I understand
Shaq,
in the case of Clyde.
I don't.
Well, he was known as a Blazer. That's where he made his mark on the NBA, was as a Blazer.
Correct.
But he won a championship with the Rockets.
Right, but it wasn't their first. He was responsible.
Doesn't matter. He was responsible for bringing one of the two championships to this franchise.
But again, we can get into criteria for why you get your number retired or not, but that's not enough to me to retire a jersey. That's enough to be thankful forever for a guy that got you the second championship.
But you understand why his number is also hanging in the rafters. It's not just the fact that he was a Rocket. It's the fact that he is a hometown guy.
I get that.
He went to U of H. All of that played into the fact that his number is hanging at the top of the Toyota Center.
But again, until they figure out that they start doing rings of fame instead of rings of honor instead of doing the number retired, because you're going to run out of numbers like the Celtics. But the fact of the matter is, I don't retire a number unless it's a career. You know, a career of accomplishments. I don't do it just because they won a championship. You know, is Justin Verlander's number going to be retired for the Astros
it
because of
be,
what he
damn
did?
It.
No way. But to your point on the two numbers, I think actually I'm okay with it because of the fact that he wore those two numbers for that franchise. It was pretty equal in terms of, you know, different points in his career, how many years he wore them.
I mean, he won rings in both numbers.
And he won rings in both
three
of them.
Three and
so you can go,
eight and two and 24, right?
Something like that. Yeah.
I mean, the fact that they had that big divorce between Kobe and Shaq, and for him to still be able to
Kobe bring, my ass teeth.
Bring another championship, I think that means so much to the Lakers. I think if, I hate to say it, but if I was a homer, if I was an L.A. guy, I probably wouldn't have. No
I don't. Oh, I'm sure if this was Olajuwon, if Olajuwon wore 34 and then he switched to 43 halfway through.
Zero problem.
Of course, we're not going to care. But I don't know. Maybe I'm just a hater. I don't know. But I'm watching L.A. It's the Lakers. It's Kobe. It's the retirement party. That's great. And then they drop both numbers and it's the two and it's such a big deal. It's just like.
It's just kind of an exception for Kobe. Like, I'd have a problem if it was Steve Nash.
The only one that I thought where we could see this again is LeBron, because he wore six, but he wore six and he wore 23 when he thought that 23 should be retired from all teams in the league for a while. But overall,
Barkley switch his number two?
Well, Barkley
for Magic, right?
He kind of had to.
He did a couple things. He wore 32 for Magic for a year. He wore 34 in Phoenix and Philadelphia. Then 34 was retired here, so he finished his career with number four for the Rockets.
See, so he should have all those retired.
No.
Right? Like, just it looked like it would look like a lottery number.
We need to leave. I know.
6, 9, 17, 34. 44, 49. Oh, my God. We won the lotto.
But, you know, to your point, though, it's L.A., so everybody's going to over-scrutinize everything. Yeah. Because the other thing that came out of it, and to his, you know, they asked him before the ceremony, did you write a speech? He said, no, I'm going to wing it. Well, one of the things you do when you wing it is, even if all the numbers are staring you in the face, hanging from the rafters, and you can reference them, he never mentioned Kareem, and he mentioned everybody else. And now everybody's got a problem with that, too. I'm sure it wasn't intentional.
No, just like I don't think Gruden not mentioning – somebody had tweeted to me about Gruden not mentioning Dungy.
Right.
And they were like, well, the night wasn't for Tony Dungy. It was for John Gruden. Of course, he thanked everybody, but I'm not going to hate on John Gruden for not thanking Tony Dungy, just like I'm not going to hate on Kobe for not thanking Kareem. I mean, you,
we can play a little bit of that next, like later on in the show. We have that that clip if you want. It was, I mean, he did mention a lot of it, a lot of the names, and when he did mention it, you can see like the camera op guy, like he's trying to keep up, and he's
with all the different names,
and he's shooting at the guys that he's mentioning as he's doing it. So, I mean, he tried.
Yeah. Well, something I want to mention. A great way for you guys to figure out what to do with your house right now. Hurricane Harvey is here. It's left. Its mark on this city is still out there. I talk to people. I see people. My own family members aren't fully recovered from Hurricane Harvey yet. So a lot of you out there have your house right now in disarray. You don't have sheetrock. It's hard to get the contractors out there. You're looking at bills piling up to get this house fixed. And you're wondering, what do I do next? Well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to call Gulf State Homebuyers, 281-717-6100. Here's why I want you to call them. They're going to come out to your house right now, as is, and look at your house and give you a no-obligation cash offer evaluation for your home. What you do with that is you take it and you compare it to the time and the money and the energy and the headache of repairing your home. And at least now you can make an informed decision on, do you want to continue down the repair process and then maybe run the risk of it flooding again later? Or do you want to go ahead and sell it, get some cash, get out, and maybe move to a neighborhood that has less risk of flooding? But you're not going to have that information complete if you don't call Gulf State Homebuyers. 281-717-6100. Give them a call right now. Gulf State Homebuyers has won the Distinction Award from the Better Business Bureau the last 2 years. So you know you're dealing with a company that you can trust. They're great folks over there. And the cool thing is once you call and get that process going, they take care of everything. They've got an entire staff of professionals, title companies, attorneys, everybody there to take care of the paperwork and everything else involved with getting that cash offer to you and making it a reality. Give them a call. Gulf State Homebuyers, 281-717-6100. You can find them on the web, gulfstatehomebuyers.com. Those folks at Gulf State, they're there for you. And together, we will keep Houston strong.
ESPN.
7-5. I want to say, you know, it's thank you so much for tonight. But you know, it's not about my jerseys that are hanging up there for me. You know, it's about the jerseys that were hanging up there before. You know, without them, I couldn't be here today. They inspired me to play the game at a high level. Magic, Cap, Shaq pushing me every day. Baylor, Chamberlain, Goodrich, Wes, Worthy, it goes on and on. And secondly, it's about this class organization. And Jerry Buss, your father, believing in a skinny old kid from Lower Merion High School in Philadelphia. And it's also about the next generation. It's about this current Laker roster that we have here. You know, it's about embodying the spirit that exists in those jerseys up there and carrying this organization forward so that the next 20 years are better than the past 20 years. And that's what it's about.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back on The Usual Suspects. As we're at the halfway point, we've had 90 minutes in the rearview mirror, now 90 in the windshield, ready to go for a much mo. As we were talking about Kobe, that was part of Kobe's speech last night, where he did omit one Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. People were going crazy about that. It happens, man. You know, I don't think he did it personally, like you said. I think it's just part, you know, when you're out there, and again, he admittedly did not write a speech. Matter of fact, he said he started thinking about it because someone brought it up in the press conference. He was like, oh, man. Now I'm starting to run over in my mind what I'm supposed to say, what I'm not going to say. And it was cool because he's a cusser. So there's a couple times during the press conference and the NBA TV was covering it live where he did the old Rondé Barber, but only on a cuss word. And he tried to stop mid-word. But yeah, it was pretty funny. It was entertaining to watch the press conference.
Oh, good times.
Yeah,
I don't know. All I can think about when I think about Kobe is Shaq afterwards. Just dogging him. That's all. whenever I hear Kobe, and that shouldn't be, because I don't do that with LeBron. I don't do that with Jordan. I don't know why I have a disdain for Kobe that I do, but it's there. It's real.
Tell me how my ass tastes.
There you go.
Yeah. Kobe. That was hilarious, too.
Tell me how my ass tastes. And then they had to make up a lot later on. That made it weird.
It took a while for them to. They finally are kind of cool, because like you hear.
Well, he mentioned him.
Yeah, exactly. So he mentions him, and he gives him props. So yeah. I think they finally put it past him.
Jason wants to chime in on the Kobe thing.
Yep.
Jason.
Hey, what's up?
What's up, man?
What's up, man?
Hey, how you guys doing? Just wanted to say, you know, as a Laker fan, I live in Houston now, but growing up as a Laker fan, I remember Chick Hearn used to call their games, and he nicknamed Kareem Cap because he's the captain. And if you listen to Kobe closely, after he starts naming names, he says Magic, then he says Cap. So that he did mention Kareem when he was naming all the names. So I don't understand why everybody's upset saying he didn't mention Kareem. He didn't say the name Kareem.
Yeah, you know, Pat Riley,
but he called out the nickname.
Yeah, Pat Riley gave Kareem that actual nickname of Cap for the captain, and then Chick Hearn picked it up. So you're absolutely right. I did not hear that, but yeah, I knew it was on ESPN and a whole bunch of places that they were talking about he did not single out Kareem last night, but you make a valid point. If that is the case, and if you listen to the speech and he said that, then, hey, more credit to him.
Yeah, yeah, I missed it, so that's good to know.
Yeah, you know, I know a lot of people don't like Kobe for a lot of different reasons. I understand it as a Laker fan. You know, if I wasn't a Laker fan, I probably wouldn't like him either. But I just wanted to put that out there because a lot of people – I've heard other people saying that today, and I just wanted to say, I heard him say Cap twice, I think. So I know he did shout out Kareem.
Good stuff, Jason. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for calling in. I did say, the one thing that I will say, the press conference that I took away from it, one of the best answers of the night from him was when, and I don't know if it was the guy or not, but I've called out Chris Broussard on this show enough already, but everybody was just asking mild-mannered questions. David Aldridge, guys that Kobe knew from the LA media, and they were just like, Kobe, you know, when you were talking about what your best game was, or they asked him, you know, what was the difference between, in your mind, between number 8 and number 24, Kobe Bryant's, and he said, well, number 8 grew hair. 24 couldn't. He had some great answers. But, you know, then all of a sudden, out of the blue, you go, Kobe, what about the comparisons about you and LeBron? And you knew it was Chris Broussard, and it was like, really? And you got to get 85 decibels above everybody else. But they asked him about this whole who's better and conversations we've had on this show about MJ or LeBron and everything else. He had a great answer. And whether he's in the conversation or not, when they're making these comparisons now, or if it's just Michael and LeBron, he said, the one thing about me is I'm only going to care about something I know I can definitively win. If it's not something that I can win, I'm not going to pay attention to it. If there's an argument that's happening, that's an argument that's never going to go anywhere, then they can argue till they're blue in the face. I don't even think about it. But if we're playing ping pong, I know I can beat you in ping pong. I'm going to beat you in ping pong. I'm going to think about that. That's a definitive thing. And I thought that was great. Because, look, again, we can use it on talk radio. People can use it in the barbershop and the sports bars and, you know, amongst your friends, who's the greatest of all time. But from the different eras, the different rules, everything like that, we're never going to have a definitive answer. I thought that was a great way to just sum it up and go, it's fun for sports conversation, but you're not, you know, you're just not going to get to the end of that.
Josh in Beaumont had a text about Kobe. He said, there's a lot of talk about 8 and 24 and Kobe and all that. No one's talking about the rape accusations that led to the change. That's surprising in today's climate. Well, I don't know if that's fair, because all it ever really was an accusation. They settled out of court in a civil case. The accuser didn't want to testify in the criminal case, so it was dismissed. So if the accuser won't testify, then you can't, at this point, all it was is an accusation. So if you've not been found guilty of anything, I don't know that you can bring, why would you bring that up at this point?
You know what?
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of speculation. And that's a dangerous game to play when you start talking about allegations of rape for both sides.
They always tend to bring that up in the worst times. I mean, that's what happened. Look what happened to Peyton Manning, you know, all those allegations against him came, you know, basically when he won the Super Bowl, when he was going out. You know, you don't want to go out and answer questions like that, but he had to. So I can see it. I can see it at least being spurred up because, especially Kobe haters. Like if there's any H-Town Kobe haters, I can.
Yeah.
Oh, Nick, there's plenty because he stuck a dagger in the hearts of Rockets fans and Blazer fans and all kinds of fans. You know, again, I brought him up when we were having these conversations about LeBron and MJ going, there's a guy that we're forgetting about because of the fact that he has five rings. He's won all the individual accolades, and he was a natural-born killer on the court. So, you know, and in regards to the whole allegations and things like that, you're right. It's a slippery slope. But at the same time, look, the guy, he really did. I mean, that was his own doing, and I don't think he changed his number because of it.
Yeah, I don't know if that was part
of it.
There were other reasons, which, by the way, are disputed on why he went from 8 to 24. One was 23 plus one with Jordan.
The other one was he wore it at Lower Marion.
And then there was another one. It was because it was I don't know, a hat tip to somebody else too. I don't remember what it was, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So all right, we got all that out of the way. So if you want to talk about that or anything else, please feel free to give us a call, Lawrence. We see you. We'll get you on the other side of the break. Right now, I want to tell you about my good friends at Infuse Energy. I just got my an email from about my energy bill for the last month, and again for another month, Infuse Energy has again saved me a whole lot of money on my energy bills. Ever since Josh Peshikoff and his staff got involved and got with me on how I could lower my energy bills and make a difference on my bills monthly in terms of my heating and air conditioning bills, they have done absolutely everything that they said they were going to do, found me a great rate, made sure that they set up a program for me so that when we use the most energy as a family, the rates are the best, and when we don't use energy as much, vice versa, the rates are also as good. It's a fantastic program, and it's because Josh Peshikoff and his staff really care. They're all based from here in Houston, Texas. When you call, you don't get an automated system, you get a human being. And they start asking you questions about your usage, whether it be for a business or for your family, so that they can tailor make a plan for you. They're going to be 100% honest. If they can beat and match what you're paying now, they're definitely going to tell you that. But they're also going to tell you if there's those times when they can't beat someone else's rate, and they're going to encourage you to take that rate and do the right thing. They're going to ensure with clear understanding that they are never going to confuse you, deceive you, obscure you, or try to trick you. Like when your program and your contract expires, your rates will balloon and they won't tell you, and then you'll be stuck for a month or two paying way too much. That's not how they do business. Check them out, infuseenergy.com or 844-INFUSE2. That's 844-463-8732. Right off the top, you mentioned ESPN 97.5. You get a $25 bill credit, and let the process go from there, because they're going to listen to you, they're going to ask you questions, and they're going to tailor make a program that is perfect for you, your business, and or your family. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Infuse energy into your life with Infuse Energy.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects between now and 4 till we turn over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. Nick, your guess is as good as mine. He suddenly has felt the need to stand up during this segment.
I'm gonna stand up, and I'm going to do the show like this.
It's gonna be completely awkward for the.
Are you gonna?
What if I stood over here next to you?
Are you double
just
cupping
like this? Yeah, I'm hold. You got a cup. You got a cup when you hold the shaft of the mic.
Yeah.
But you cup the bass.
Is that what you do?
That's all right.
Sounds like a man with experience. All right. With that being said,
I've read books, Joel. All
right. Lawrence has been waiting a while. We appreciate it, man. What's up? You want to get here on Kobe Bryant?
Yes. I play basketball, and one thing about Kobe, even though you weren't a Kobe fan, his work ethic was like no other, man. And I just want to ask you, how good would James Harden be if he had Kobe's work ethic? And I'll hang up and just thank you.
That's a great question, man. Because, you know, Kobe was notorious for 4 a.m. workouts and at any time working. He said he still gets up in the press conference last night. He said, I still get up every day. I'm conditioned to get up at 4 a.m. And at 4 a.m. when the rest of the house is sleeping with three kids, I can get my workout in. I can catch up on reading. I can do things I need to do. He's like, and I don't think it'll ever change. That's crazy.
That is crazy. That's, I think you see spurts of that. We've discussed it before, and I don't want to beat a dead horse with Harden, but we've talked about the fact that when he's motivated – he's one of the best players on the planet, and that shows. But the problem is Kobe never needed to be humiliated in public to be motivated. The fact that he wanted to be the best and he wanted to win every single time, and that motivated Kobe day in and day out, whether people were looking or not. And I think Harden's motivation sometimes comes from saving face.
Yeah, you're right.
And you're right. He would be a lot better.
There are certain guys that need external motivation and other guys that are just supremely motivated to be the best. And Kobe was one of the latter. I mean, James is one of those guys that needs external motivation sometimes to maybe stay focused. But to your point the other day, which is very much spot on, this year, for the first year ever, he actually came in looking jacked up.
He's
looking muscular.
He's cut.
Yeah, looking stronger and more cut up, more defined. And maybe this is that whole, I kept mentioning.
Hot.
At some point, he's got to mature. He's got to hit that maturation process where he turns the page and realizes.
How old is he?
Late 20s. Okay. I think he's like 27,
Eight
28.
Seasons in the NBA, so I would imagine.
26?
Because he's 28. Yeah, how many years was he in
college?
He's 28.
He's born in 89.
Okay.
James Harden is a millennial. Somebody asked me that because I was talking about that dude that blocked me for he's and people say millennials are sensitive, and the guy blocked me because I disagree with him about Gruden and Tony Dungy. James Harden's a millennial.
I wish
that explains everything.
Me.
Are you talking about Mr. Irrigation? I had to mute that stupid ass conversation. Joel tags me because Mr. Irrigation is like talking mess about me. So Joel tags me, and then I'm just like, God,
and I
this
said,
is
why
so...
don't you say it to him?
Yeah,
yourself.
Just say because right, right. I wasn't in the convo, and it's like this is all so petty. I'm not a high school kid anymore. Like, go, just go. I don't care. I just muted it all. It's ridiculous.
So Mr. Irrigation is not a fan of the Usual Suspects.
The Usual Suspects aren't a fan of Mr. Irrigation. How about that?
Yeah, be careful what you wish Jeez. For when you say you get one call a day. That's if we decide to take it.
He said he wasn't going to call the show anymore. Promise?
Yeah.
Really? Like, please don't. Please, don't you go back on your words, sir. Dang. I never want to hear your voice between 1 and 4, ever.
Oh, Tyler was catching up on it in the break. He told me, he was like, just missed this. This is amazing. He's reading all
really?
Of it.
Really? It's ridiculous.
All right, Patrick wants to get in on Kobe before we turn the page. What's up, Patrick?
Yeah, guys, I just want to say I think it's real dangerous to dismiss allegations because they were pleaded out or they came across a negotiation and a settlement. I think we really need to educate men specifically, but the public in general, the reason why most of these women don't want to go on the stand and make their statements, it's because they are reliving the situation and they are most likely, especially in Kobe Bryant's situation, going up against a lawyer that is going to embarrass them, going to grill them, going to make them feel like they're the perpetrator of the incident. And I mean, we talk about eye test in sports a lot as well. And the eye test is, I mean, are we kidding? He settled. People who aren't guilty don't settle, first of all, and they sure as heck don't buy their wife a 6-carat diamond ring and have to worry about their wife leaving them if they're innocent.
Well, Patrick, let me ask you something. Patrick.
I really think it's
just as I thought it was deplorable that the defense would attack her character for the accusations, though it's part of the defense and a sad part of the reality of a case like that. Do you think that maybe you settle if you're Kobe because there are other things that might come out about your infidelity and other things that may come out to ruin your family and so forth? Not necessarily the fact that. Was it rape or not? The civil allegation was for that and was for, you know, obviously a civil suit based on that. But it's the ramifications of everything else that may come out that may have forced him to settle. You don't know that. But I want to say that I do agree with you. It's a slippery slope and you have to be careful. You can't just dismiss it. But at the same time, there may be other things that Kobe didn't want. So you can't make the assumption one way or the other.
Let me ask you if... You're worried. What are you worried more about? You worried about an infidelity being found out, or are you worried about settling and having the rest of the public go, "Oh, well, yeah, you settled."
Well, at that point, it doesn't matter. I mean, to be honest with you, at that point, Patrick, it doesn't matter because it's out in the public. The public has already made their decision. Nothing you do from that point forward is going to change the public's mind.
Court of public opinion.
Yeah, he could have even been found.
You accuse me of rape. I'm fighting you.
Okay,
great. If I didn't do
Patrick, do you think OJ did it? Because he was found not guilty. Do you think OJ did it? It doesn't matter. Once it's out there, people form an opinion and make up their mind, and nothing else that happens in court, whether it was real or not, true or not, is going to change their mind.
We can be men and act like that and take up for men all the time if we want to, or we can really highlight the problem that is in the society, that women are scared and women get their lives ruined, and that's why they don't stand up for themselves, because they know when they do,
Patrick,
their lives
I'm not
over.
Disagreeing with you. And yeah, if you've listened to this show, this would be the last show that you would know that would sit here and to use your words, we can just be men. It's quite the opposite on this show.
Correct.
But
I'm not accusing you.
All right, but my point is you don't know why he settled out of court in a civil suit. So just like I would tell you, don't make the assumption that, you know, that the allegations weren't true. I would also tell you, don't make the assumption that the reason he settled out of court in the civil case was because he was guilty. There could have been other factors that he was already losing sponsors. But if more came to light, it may have been even worse for him than what he had already been through. So you don't know that either. That's all I'm
saying. You make a fair point. You make a fair point, and I'm not shaming you folks. I just hear a topic that strikes a chord with me, and I wanted to make my two cents heard.
Fair enough.
Well, we appreciate it, Patrick, and it's good stuff. Appreciate
There's nothing wrong with what he said.
I don't disagree with anything he said.
I completely agree with
Up to the point where you make the assumption as to why that, because that's the thing, is everyone's like, he settled the civil suit, he's guilty. That's not what that means all the time.
Not that it's the most ethically...
It's a bad look.
Yeah, it's not a great ethical decision in a lot of ways, or that a lot of people would support it. But at the same time, you're absolutely right, because so many of these guys have so many other things that factor in, including, like you mentioned, the endorsement money, a lot of the things with everything from getting endorsement money to autograph signing sessions to public appearances, all that's bringing money into the bank that gets cut off, especially, like you said, if there's multiple infractions. If there's multiple cases that come up, multiple people that bring up these allegations, you're going to lose everything, i.e. Matt Lauer, i.e. go up and down the list. All these people that blew it because they didn't handle their business and they did a lot of bad things. But you're right. Sometimes guys have the opportunity, whether it's right or not, to cut their losses, keep it to this one case, settle it, and hope to God, in their case, they're hoping to God, it goes away.
It was a fair point by Barry, and I think ultimately the gist of his call was...
By Barry or Patrick?
By Patrick, was that don't dismiss it and don't overlook it. And look,
totally agree.
That was the second call on that, shedding light on his history. So it's not like we didn't mention it. And I think that should satisfy Patrick and everybody else that wants us to bring light to it. I mean we mentioned the fact that his numbers got retired, and then we mentioned his history.
Yeah.
It's two times on the show.
Right.
So it's not like and I think that was the gist of his call. Like, don't overlook it. Don't dismiss it. We don't.
Because the good old boy thing to do would just be like, oh, here we go again. We're going to bring that up. No, we did, because it's a legit part of his legacy. But we didn't run from that. But I don't think you can make, if you're not going, you can't make assumptions on both sides is the point. You got to go off what you know. And if you don't know, don't make an assumption.
Everybody can point fingers, but no one knows the real deal, with the exception of a very limited amount of people, which probably you can count on one hand. Mm-hmm. And it's probably not going
to
get out.
I mean, what I would if actually came ask, out that I would he was actually a Patrick to call attorneys, different attorneys, and ask them, have you ever been in a situation where you encourage your client to just go ahead and settle, because to put it
and
behind
that was gonna be That was going to be one of my points. Think about how many people are in his ear. PR people, attorneys, these other people that are like, yeah, dude, just make this go away.
Yep.
But I want to fight it. No. It's a bad look. It'll drag on, and your attorneys, just trust us. Settle it. The sooner you do, the sooner this goes away. People will forget about it in time. But you're just going to drag it out. It's going to ruin the rest of your career. And at that point, you've got everyone else telling you to settle, even though you may want to fight it. I'm not saying that could happen.
Absolutely right.
But I'm saying I could see that being the case.
No question.
No more Kobe talk, because the Lakers suck. Go Rockets. No,
there you go. All right. So Nick has made a statement that we'll stick with. So
no more Kobe.
Two in the books, one to go. 1 hour left of the big show, and lots more to still get to. Something on your mind you want to get in? Chime in, please. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter, where it's at Barry is funny, at the producer Nick, and at Pac Man Joel with a K. Back for the final hour. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely. need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry the Bahamas and USA.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.